One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arsecast with me, your host, Tim Stillman, with a very special episode today, which is an exclusive, an Arseblog exclusive interview with Manuela Zinsberger. When we learned that Manu was going to sign a new contract at some point in December, I was really keen to set this interview up because I think Manu's had a really, really interesting Arsenal career. She's nearly been at the club for 5 years now. She's committed herself to the club for another couple of years. And I just think her kind of career at Arsenal is so interesting because Arsenal have bought a lot of other goalkeepers in the time that Manu's been here. And she always seems to fight the competition off pretty strongly, and obviously there are continued rumours around another goalkeeper coming in like Mary Earps, but I also think it's not just Manu's football, and for me I think she's shown real improvement as a goalkeeper on areas I would have considered her maybe weak earlier in her Arsenal career, and I just really think there's a story behind this player who really fights for her place, is really, really well respected and really well liked in the group, but also she's such a big, great character, I think, and that's why I wanted to do this interview in audio rather than written, because I really wanted that to come across. I think Manu's such a great communicator, and actually we talk in the interview about her communication style as a goalkeeper, and she has some really interesting things to say actually about how that's evolved over the years, particularly as crowds are becoming bigger at women's football now, and verbal communication, the importance of verbal communication in games is reducing because there's greater crowd noise, and Manu's such a, when I say an intense character, I mean that in a really good fun way, not in an off-putting way, but she's not just fun, you can tell, and it really comes across in this interview that she's very serious, she's very focused, she's super professional, and I really think there's something about goalkeepers that often are either really, really kind of calm and chill, or there's that old adage about goalkeepers being a bit mad. I don't think Manu's a bit mad per se, but like definitely a big character, and someone who's really interesting psychologically. So that's why I wanted to do the interview in audio, and I'm really, really glad I did. I'm really, really pleased with the way this interview came out. I thought Manu was great. I think if she wants to be a podcast host someday, she'll make a brilliant podcast because she's such a great kind of fulsome communicator, and I hope that really comes across in this interview, and I hope that you really enjoy this exclusive interview with Manu Zinsberger. And just before I throw over to that, I just want to say a thank you to Arsenal for allowing us to do that, and for Manu for giving up her time on Friday afternoon when this interview was conducted. As you can imagine, I bother Arsenal a lot, certainly the media staff there, with requests and things like that. So I'm really grateful to them for setting this up and allowing us this exclusive interview with Arsenal goalkeeper Manuela Zinsberger. OK, Okay, Manu, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks for coming over.
Can I ask, I've spoken to a lot of Arsenal players in the past who've been at the club a long time, and I think you qualify for that now. And at some point, a lot of them say there's a contract they have to think about. Was this one you had to think about? Because you did like the 1 year extension last year. Was this one you had to take your time over, particularly coming into your prime years?
Sometimes the public doesn't know everything. So if you're making a contract, there's every contract is individual. So I'm thinking for the future, and I have the plans made with the club. I got the trust from the club, from Jonas, from the team. And so my future has been decided yet. I'm really proud of it. And for me was everything clear that I'm going to sign another contract for that club.
And let's go right back, well before Arsenal, to little Manu. When did you, like, how did you start off in goal, and when did you make the decision that you were going to be a goalkeeper? What was that journey like for you?
It was actually accidentally that I has been chosen as a goalkeeper, based on I was an outfield player at the beginning. Actually, under 8, you can say you're more like an all-rounder.
Yeah.
Wasn't that bad, what my father said so far. Had to trust him there. But when I was 9-10, our goalkeeper needed to move the country based on his parents. They got another job. So we were there without goalkeeper, and that was the decision where we said, oh, let's keep switching positions. Sometimes I'm in goal, then the other one. But then I said, I actually do love it. I actually really enjoy being a goalkeeper. And since then, I made the decision to be goalkeeper. So, yeah, so from 9-10.
Okay, well, you referenced him as the goalkeeper. Were you in a boys' team or a mixed team?
No, completely boys' team till I was 14 years old. I've been treated well. Boys have been brilliant. Was my friends also off the pitch. So have been really close. So the football pitch were everywhere. Not even with the club. It was also at home. Always surrounded by football. And I've been lucky to say that I've been treated well. That I've kept pushing from the boys, that I've also been supported by their parents, so everyone was close, everyone knew each other. So yeah, I was till I was 14 almost with the boys. Then I had to go to the girls, which was a good decision, and from then on my journey started as a footballer with the girls. So but looking back so far, I would say it was good that I've stayed so long with the boys, to get the physicality, to get the quicker football in general. I think that was a good journey.
And I'm really interested in the psychology of being a goalkeeper. I mean, you come across as a very big character. The first time I ever spoke to you was before you made your debut for Arsenal, and you said, I want to be loud. Those were the words that really jumped out at me at the time. And, you know, being a goalkeeper, it's probably the closest thing in football to being like a solo sport, like a tennis player or a golf player. How much of a part of your character do you think really plays into being a goalkeeper?
There's so many characteristics which plays in. I think as a goalkeeper, you're not even talking sometimes so much, based on if we sell out another Emirates, I think my defenders won't hear me. But it's more like how I look like. It's not like if I have makeup on. It's more like the, how do you say, like
projection.
Yeah. Which you put out on the pitch. I think that's so important. That speaks so loud without even using your voice. I think it's just the calmness on the ball, which gives you a little bit of a character who shows like the confidence which you are putting on the pitch. I think it's also like responsibility in certain decision making. I think there are many other stuff. I mean, of course, communication is the key as well. You need to dictate also your defenders. If you have a slow moment, you need to adjust certain things, you need to take decisions. But all in all, it's so important that they get my back. If there comes a ball through, that I will be there, and I hope I can do that many more times. So yeah, I'm trying to develop my personality off the pitch, but taking responsibility hasn't to be loud. That's what I figured out. You can show that by actions, and that's what comes out way more than really speaking up loud. speaking at the right time, I would call it now. But yeah, I'm doing that. We have great unit meetings. We have great communication throughout the team, my teammates. That's what's important.
And yeah, I can see, like, from snippets on your Instagram and things like that, you seem very into positive thinking. And I know something that really resonated with Arsenal fans. You did an interview after we lost at home to Barcelona. There's a little clip of you going to the interview and you're smiling. And I think one of the journalists asks you why you're smiling. And you said, never lose your smile. And I remember that clip really resonated with Arsenal fans, I think, as an insight into your character. Is that a fair insight into your character and, you know, the kind of reading you do and things like that? How much does positive thinking for you come into your job as a goalie?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not always thinking positive. I always also have my days where I'm not feeling okay, and that's totally fine. I'm not like a person smiling 365 days a year. There also have been days which I'm not smiling. Maybe I'm crying. Maybe I'm not satisfied. But one loss doesn't define you. I think I've been reading so many quotes from Kobe Bryant, especially. He missed so many shots. But if you look back, look what he has achieved. LeBron James the same, like many other footballers, many other personalities. They've lost so much throughout their career. But the success was way heavier. Based on their trust themselves, their trust in a team, their trust, the belief. And that's what made me smile, because I know what we're working for. I know the process. I know that everyone puts everything on and off the pitch what's possible. That's what my aim for myself is as well. I'm coming here, I'm working my ass off, not even on the pitch, also off the pitch. Like, I'm feeling my job 24/7, and that's what I give back to the fans. And I'm looking forward also seeing the fans celebrating, seeing the fans selling out another Emirates. Makes me proud, and that's why I'm working even harder, because that I want to relate to the fans. And yeah, I trust the process, and that's why I'm keeping smiling, because I trust what we're working for, and we will get the trophies to Arsenal sooner than we think.
Yeah, I love it when that happens, when you preempt a question I already had planned, which was about, you know, as a goalkeeper, you're really connected to the crowd, you're the closest to them most of the time as well. But I actually wanted to focus on as well your development as a goalkeeper during your time at Arsenal, because when I think back, when you first signed, I spoke to someone, a Bayern fan, and he said, she's great on the ball, but she'll give you a heart attack once a game. But I can't remember the last time I felt like that with you on the ball, for example. I look back at maybe some goals you conceded a couple of seasons ago from long range. I don't really see that happening anymore. And what I perceive is that one by one, some of these perhaps weaknesses or development points in your game have kind of gone. And I wondered how that process works between you, between Jonas, between Seb Barton and as the goalkeeping coach. Like, I know you don't just work on one thing, you work on everything all the time, but how does that process work of identifying development points and kind of, I guess, attacking them?
I think as soon as I joined Arsenal, we set the plan. We set, like, where we're going to see myself, what we want to achieve with myself, like as an individual, but also as a team perspective. I've been working hard, especially like physically in the gym. Combine that with the pitch. Sebastian Melton did also a great job, like throughout the years, like really focusing on the details. Small margins are really, really important, especially at a certain age. I'm not old, I would say, but still, like, when I would be 20, maybe I learn quicker and can gain more of that. Now I have to adjust certain things, but yeah, I've been working hard of early positioning, that I'm set early enough, that I'm more calm in a 1v1 where when the striker comes towards me, that I'm challenging the striker. Striker doesn't challenge me. The striker has more pressure to score a goal because everyone expects that. But I'm more in the position, I can be calm. You want to achieve a goal. Me? I want to save it. So I'm trying to take the calmness to actually distract the striker. But I just want to say, I think that's a funny sentence which you put out. Yeah, she's good on the ball, but she gives you a heart attack. I mean, to be honest, I'm the last one on the pitch.
Mm.
Does not a striker give you a heart attack if the striker misses from 5 chances, 4.5?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the 5th one is on the post and out? Is that not a heart attack? No. Based on, we can achieve a goal, you know? Mm. It's just a way of thinking of people. And that's also my job, that I have to deal with certain things. And if I make a mistake, most likely will be a goal. I'm trying to reduce this as much as I can, but also accept that it can happen because I'm also a human being.
Mm.
I'm not a robot. That would be nice because then I close the goal and we're all fine and happy that we keep the clean sheet for many years. But yeah, that's what I would say, yeah.
And what about another thing that strikes me about your Arsenal career is a lot of goalkeepers have come in, excuse me, while you've been here.
But I'm still staying here.
Exactly, you're still staying here. But also some of the characteristics I think have defined some of those goalkeepers, like Pauline, like Lydia Williams, like Sabs, you know, quick off the line, good with long distribution, all left-footed, I think, as well.
I think Lydia were right.
Was Lydia right? Yeah. Okay. But when Arsenal sign those goalkeepers who have those characteristics, is there a conversation with Jonas or Sebastian about, you know, some of the strengths those goalkeepers have? Or do you say, okay.
We're not talking about the others. And that shouldn't say like they're not important.
Hmm.
But in a meeting with Jonas, I want to hear what are my weaknesses from your perspective. What do you expect from me? And that's what I'm working on. And he tells everyone the same thing, that you have not the free card, we would say in German, to be the number one.
Mm-hmm.
You need to earn it. Almost said the word. I haven't. You need to earn it. And I'm working my ass off to consistently be the number one. That it's not easy. Of course it's not easy. Everyone want to challenge me. Everyone want to be there. Maybe there can be a change. I don't know. The thing is, I focus on myself. I'm taking the strength out of Subs. I took it out of Pauline. I took it out of Lydia. What I can't do is change my body composition.
Mm.
Based on they have a different body composition where they are more explosive, more like a... But I have other strengths, and that's what I'm focusing on. But what I do like about all characteristics I've worked so far with it was they are as a human being. I don't care who you are. For me, it's more important be a good human being, because we need not just a good number two, a good number two, three, four, five, six, whatever. We need a good cheeky union. We need to push each other. No matter who's playing, that one gains the power and they need their back from everyone. I don't care in that moment when Jonas decides that goalkeeper is playing, focus on that.
Mm.
If that happens 4 times, I would go to Jonas and say like, hey, what can I change that I have maybe more chances to get back my number one shirt? That's my focus. I'm not focused. Looking back, seeing myself being the number one for such a long time makes me proud. Grateful, so many emotions. I hope I can continue that. And I focus on myself. That's my advice on everyone. If you focus on yourself but put the team first, you come way further than you think.
Yeah, and that's really interesting as well, because it's not just Jonas who, for example, when Sab signed, there was a little bit more of a rotation model, which I think, to your credit, happens less now. Joe did it as well with Pauline. There was a bit of a rotation model, and over time that kind of stopped. And I wonder, from your perspective, you know, do you think you play... I'm going to guess you're going to say yes, but do you think you play better when you have that regular kind of game-to-game?
That's a tricky question, because everyone says as many games as you play, you gain confidence. Then the difference is as well, do you play all the time with the same defenders? Because if you have a goal kick and you're always rotating, everyone is different. A lot is different to Amanda. Amanda is different to Leah. Cody is different to everyone else. So there's so many factors comes on the pitch. But of course, I want to play every single game. But what I also say is, we need also a good number two who needs experience. If something happens, you can't say, oh, she hasn't played for half a year. Shit, what are we doing now? We have so many games. And if you want to keep everyone fit, if you want to keep everyone happy, you need to rotate. But you need to find a good amount. When do you rotate? But I'm glad I'm not a coach. I'm glad that's Jonas and Jonas' part. But yeah, you definitely need two good goalkeepers. But everyone needs their playing time. So I'm the last one saying, oh, I want to play every game. Of course I want to. But at the end, we need the full squad. So that's how I think.
And I asked Jonas this morning about Sarah coming into the group. I appreciate she might not have even trained with you yet. And so it's early days, but obviously you'll have seen her career from afar. But one of the things Jonas said to me was she has really high standards and she's not shy about communicating them. I mean, how much are you looking forward to working with Sarah Bouhadi and, you know, everything you've seen from, I mean, there can't be many goalkeepers ever who've won what she's won in the game.
I'm happy when everyone comes in. Like, I'm already looking forward what I can take out of her personality, what I can take out of her physicality, what I can take out of her, like, in a football perspective. That sounds weird, but I'm actually trying to filter everyone straight away. But not in a bad way. I'm just, like, as I look a football game in general, I look on both goalkeepers and say, hey, what can I take out from my game? So that's what I'm doing with her as well. So I'm actually looking forward, like, how she is in our GK Union, how she involves herself, how she's practicing, what she can teach me maybe, because I'm open for every criticism, I'm open for everyone's help, because that's what I say to everyone. If you see myself being in a shit position for that shot, tell me afterwards, adjust me. Because Sebastian has now four goalkeepers, how should he see everything? So I'm happy when we keep helping each other, pushing each other in a good way. So yeah, as you can hear, I'm looking forward to learn from her. Maybe she'll teach me something. I don't know. We will see. Get some communications in.
Yeah. And I just want to wrap up with a couple of listener questions we've got. One from one of our members, Ingrid Bergman Kiss. That's a username. you seem to be one of the main cheerleaders of the current team. I'll never forget that video of you all finding out about Beth winning Sports Personality of the Year and your genuine joy. Is there anyone for you in your playing career who is that cheerleader for you?
In general or on our team?
In general.
Oh, I think just about my team, to be honest. If I think about a good cheerleader, I would take actually Beth Mead. Honestly, she's such an energetic person, such in a good mood, such hyping up the team, always loud. She's definitely the loudest one. But yeah, as soon as she comes in training center, she's different. But she makes me laugh every single day, and that's what I appreciate. So I would take her as a cheerleader for sure.
Fair
I'm
enough.
Not sure about her hip mobility, but we'll get that.
And this one's from Elizabeth. Firstly, congrats to you and your partner on the pregnancy. Have you spoken to any other footballers with children or sought any advice about how to balance, you know, motherhood with being a footballer?
I'm close to Melanie Leupold. She's actually a blue, but we keep that out. But yeah, no, I talk with her a lot. She's one of my closest friends, so I'm taking some advice from her. I'm questioning, but somehow I also want to let it happen, because every child is different. Every relationship is different. So my relationship is different to everyone else. So I don't want to get too much. I'm fine with small advice, which I also can get already out of my goalkeeping coach, who has two kids. So yeah. I think that is advice enough, and the rest I let it soak into myself, and there will always be a solution. Think about that. Don't focus on the problem. The solution is the key. So that's my main focus, where I go for.
That's advice to live by, and a great way to end the interview, I think. So Manu, thanks so much. That was everything I kind of hoped it would be.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it, and hope to see you soon for another great interview. I'm up there and I'm staying a little bit longer, so no rush.
Certainly will. Thanks, Manny.
You're welcome.
Hold up. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Well, you can see what I meant in my intro listening to that interview. I think this interview, Manu really, really delivered, and the kind of audio format really lends itself to her character. And I just thought that was a fascinating interview, not just about her, but just about goalkeeping in general. It's a very undercovered subject, and a lot of us aren't really experts with goalkeeping. It's almost like a different sport sometimes, and the psychological aspect of it is so different, I think, from being an outfield player. And I think Manu is very, very plugged in and switched on to that. And I think that really came across in the interview, which I think really, really delivered. And I hope you agree, and I hope that you enjoyed that, because this is a long-serving player, I think an underrated player at Arsenal, and someone who's such a great character in the squad, and someone I think fans can really relate to. But we just don't get the chance to hear from goalkeepers very often, and we just felt her new contract was a good chance to do that. That's all we have time for in this episode. We're going to have another episode coming out hopefully in a couple of days, which I'm going to talk to Miriam Walker-Khan from Sky Sports and Nirali Sisodia from the Kickback podcast about South Asian girls' participation in women's and girls' football. And that's a follow-on from the episode we did last week with former Arsenal goalkeeper Amanda Sange. So stay tuned for that. We're recording that hopefully on Monday evening, so it should be out towards the end of the week as you listen to this. And we hope that you really get something from that. And thanks for all of the reaction to the interview with Amanda. She was such a fantastic guest, and I think talking about some really important things. And, you know, as much as we love having players like Manu on the podcast when we can get them, I think it's really important to kind of cover and reignite these stories from former players who just didn't have the opportunity at the time to really do any media or talk about their stories or for us to kind of really project their stories for other people. And we had a lot of great feedback from people who really valued and really enjoyed that interview. And I really hope that you get the same thing or something very similar from the interview we'll do with Miriam and Nuralia later in the week. So we'll come out with that later in the week. But until then, thanks so much for listening. You know, give us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, and make it clear it's the Arsenal Women Askcast that you're reviewing. We put this out on the main feed very deliberately, the main Askcast feed, because we want it to reach as many people as possible. But obviously, you know, the reviews tend not to be very distinct. So give us a rating, give us a review, make it clear it's the Arsenal Women Askcast that you're reviewing wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, we're always grateful for your feedback, either on social media, on Patreon, if you're a member, on Discord. I'm going to be a bit more active in the Arsenal Women channels on our Arsblog Discord as well. So any feedback you have, please let us know, and we'll do our best to make this show as good and as accessible and as enjoyable as possible, and cover the subjects and the people that really matter to you. But until then, goodbye, take care, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.